We're recording.
Lovely.
All right. So, hi, everyone. Welcome to the Businessman's Guide to Almost Everything podcast, the show where I, your host, Cole Brzenji, will be exploring some of the interesting fields that we are surrounded by, some of the interesting organizations in there, and the people that run them. So, with me today for my first guest and first show is Marty Stauffer. Marty, would you like to introduce yourself, where you're from, and what you do?
Yeah, I'm Marty Stauffer. I've got Stauffer Insurance, a little independent agency in Linden.
All right. So Stauffer Insurance, this, now I really don't know much about insurance. So is there a difference between an insurance agency, and I hear there's insurance groups, there's insurance brokerages. Are these all just different flavors of the same thing, or is there actually a difference?
There's a big difference, but there are definite flavors and preferences. An independent agency is one that has agreements in place with a whole bunch of different companies to represent them and work with them and sell their product in exchange for a commission, whereas the other ones are going to be working directly with one company only. Independents are going to have access to multiple markets.
Right. So you can kind of dip your finger into different pies, choose the best service. That's the idea, right?
Yeah, that's the plan, is that you put everything together and you make sure that somebody, as a customer, that you've set them up with the company that likes them the best. And if they like you, they give you the best rate. And so you tend to be able to make sure somebody gets the service they're looking for individually by being their agent, but also getting the product they're looking for by matching them up appropriately.
Right. So again, really don't know much about insurance. So this is going to be our first recording. And one of the things I really just wanted to cover was kind of like the ground rules for what makes an insurance agency and what the differences are between the independent and the large corporate bodies. Because again, from my perspective, it almost just seems like I'm either going to go to McDonald's or I'm going to Burger King.
For sure.
Same thing, just different wrappings. It depends on what, you know, if you like, what's Burger King's colors? Blue versus gold, I guess.
Yeah.
So what is actually the biggest difference from a customer's perspective of working with a large corporate insurance group and someone like you, an independent local area?
I mean, honestly, I think they're very, very similar in that it relies on the agent. I think most of these big corporates, if you've got an agent that's not very good, then you're not going to get the service you're looking for. And it, the same can be said with independent. The biggest difference is what we're encountering a lot right now with all the rate increases and stuff that are happening.
Yeah.
It gives us the opportunity as an independent to say, okay, well, maybe you're not in the best market. Let's take a look. And either A, we can prove, you know what, you're still getting the best rate from all the other places we're looking at. We're still finding that you're in the best spot right now. Or B, yeah, you got a big rate increase because they don't want you anymore. But these guys over here, they like you a lot more and we'd like to switch you over and save you some money. So I feel for some of the captive markets in this environment in that they have their one option and they don't get the backup plan. And we have lots of backup plans.
So. Right. So in your experience then, because you can go to someone like Allstate and they're going to have a life insurance policy, health insurance policy, home, auto, air, the whole works. I know with a lot of them, their big angle is if you come to us and you package all these things together, then you're going to get the good rates. If you get them individually, it's not going to be the same kind of saving. Do you find that that argument of theirs is actually that compelling? Or more often than not, if you go to an independent family-owned insurance group, they're able to find some of the other more obscure insurance groups that maybe we don't think of, and they are actually finding the better offers?
Yeah, it's a really good question because it used to be one answer and it's kind of flipped to another.
Really?
I'd say 5 or 6 years ago, even when I started my business 5 years ago, even that typical situation, we could on occasion separate things out where an auto might be better here, home better here, umbrella follows the auto typically, whatever, your boat might be a separate thing. And we don't like doing it for convenience sake, for understanding the policies, for, you know, it's nice we can have it in a nice, pretty package, but sometimes it makes more sense for the customer to split it up. The companies definitely want it all together.
Yeah.
They want to be able to take a look at the whole package and say, okay, this as a whole, this customer as a whole, we'd like it all. Their profit and loss, you know, they pay very close attention to it and they see it being a lot more beneficial for them. So they have both started giving bigger discounts for bundling, but also bigger penalties for not. And when I say that, I mean, when they're looking at rate increases, they might be looking across the board going, okay, well, first in line might be the people who are standalone product. And if it's a standalone, you might see more increases than if you were a bundled product.
Right. I feel like everyone's now coming to realize that insurance has been having some really bad years lately. Is this just because insurance is going through such a rocky period? They're being really aggressive with their packagings?
There's a lot of factors. I mean, it goes all the way back to COVID in the sense of when COVID was happening, there was like a lockdown on rates. The insurance commissioners and everybody said, we're not going to be upping rates during this period of time. And honestly, claims dropped a little bit during that period of time. And it was great. Everything got back to normal and all the claims got back to normal. With insurance, they don't get to just change their rates overnight. Mm. They have to go prove their loss to an insurance commissioner who then approves the increase that they're requesting, likely not the amount that they're requesting either. And so they're going to go back and say, okay, well, we're taking too big of a loss. We need to make adjustments. But until the adjustments get made, they're going to continue to take that loss. And so the insurance companies got behind due to all the stuff that happened then.
Right.
And they're still trying to get caught up. Fortunately, it does appear that 2025 is looking better.
Okay.
I've heard from multiple companies that they would call it a stable market is on the way. And I'll take a stable market right now. This last couple of years, for us to be the face of your rate increase makes the job a little less enjoyable at times. But it's definitely, we're still happy to help.
So the insurance commissioner, I hadn't heard of this position until really recently. Is this an elected position or is this? Okay, this is elected.
It's one of the more powerful positions in the state. So
really?
Yeah, they have had the same guy since I was involved. He's been the same commissioner from the time I've been voting, basically.
Really?
And he just retired after this year. So it's the first time we got to see some new names out there. And so, yeah, we have a new insurance commissioner that starts, I believe, this month. And we'll see where it goes from there. But the insurance commissioner definitely has to prove everything. And that anytime that we hear people complain too much about rates, we do like to point out that we're one of the only industries that actually has an elected official that is watching to make sure we don't make too much money or, for that matter, too little money.
Right.
We have to be able to stay in a position to be able to pay all the claims as they come. And that's what their job is. It says, yes, they're in a position they can pay it. No, they're not making so much that they're gouging people.
So that's interesting then. Like, for reference to people who are watching, we're in Washington State. Mm-hmm. Would you say that the insurance commissioner has historically done good work, like balancing those interests? Because I'm sure that's a hot topic for you guys.
Yeah, that's a loaded question that I don't know that I want to put myself in the middle of. I'll put it this way. In the past, it feels like the insurance commissioner for our state has followed the path of other states and seen, you know, whatever they do, we do. Right. Our insurance commissioner in the past has been a little more hesitant to approve certain things. So, for example, Snapshot is a product that Progressive put out years ago, and it was being advertised during Super Bowls. It was being advertised as you know, plug this into your car and you're going to save some money.
Oh, is that the one that tracks your driving?
It does. And so the company is advertising nationally that this is something they're offering, but it wasn't available in the state of Washington. And so we're getting these phone calls saying, you know, oh, I'm interested in trying that. And we're saying, yeah, we are too. We'd love to have you do it. It's not ready yet. And it's because the insurance commissioner didn't approve it. And that's okay. I mean, it means, I would say that the commissioner has always done a good job of looking out for the general public, which is great, but they're in a very awkward position where they have to represent the public while also being in line with the insurance companies and trying to make sure that everybody is playing nicely.
So can I risk putting you in hot water then again?
I do that all the time.
So with the insurance commissioner, from an outsider's perspective, seeing that there's an elected official whose whole job is to basically monitor an area that is in public interest, but is ultimately a private sector. I think that's fair to describe it as. Yeah. That seems weird. We don't have many other industries like that. Do you think that they balance the interests between small insurance agencies and large corporate ones well? Because from that cynical mind, I can see in the back rooms, you know, all states pulled them back and like, we want you to change a few things here. And then the commissioner comes out a year later, they make some changes that kind of shafts the little guys, but the big corporate guys come out okay.
Well, that's a good question. I think that they represent all the big guys. And so the big guys do I mean, we're an independent, but we sell Allstate as well. Like we have that connection with these different companies that we can sell some of these big ones. And a lot of the big ones are starting to connect with the independents, including Geico in other states, not in Washington yet,
right.
But are saying that, yeah, we'll work with the independents as well. The insurance commissioner is going to be paying attention to the bigger companies and the way that they're doing things. And it does trickle down to us as agents because we get then the feedback from the companies as to what's going on. I will say that when I've had questions and I need to verify things with the insurance commissioner's office, I can call and I get an answer and I get nice people in the office that answer my questions quickly. In that sense, they serve us well.
All right. No, that's good. Okay. So different kind of question then, because I'm curious about what the workflow for an insurance agent is. So if I came to you and I was to say, I have a house and I have a car that I want to get insured, we're going to have a consultation and presumably you're going to say, okay, let me get you a few quotes. I'll get those to you promptly. What does that workflow look like for you?
Yeah. Yeah. Depends. What we typically like to do is have a quick sit down. If somebody's calling in, I can look up some of the information online and then start to ask them questions, you know, assessor sites and stuff right. that have information. So I can look up some questions just at first glance. And then we tend to like to get copies of what they have prior so that we can quote one quote that's apples to apples, you right. know, make sure that they understand. And so we make sure to get the driver's licenses and ask any questions about claims that might be in place, what kind of drivers are in the household. And then once we've put the actual quotes together, if we see any gaps, we'll tend to kind of throw a second quote in and say, okay, here's the first one. This is what you have. And this is your apples to apples comparison.
Right.
Here's with an agent's perspective, what we think maybe you could change to improve things for yourself and make sure that you're better insured. After we've sent those over, I like to ask for the customer to have a sit down and meet and review at that stage.
Gotcha.
So we do the initial collecting of information and that's just a little get to know you, chit chat about you and your family and what's going on with your situation. Collect all the vital information. And then once it's done, that's something that when I started my company, I've tried to make a priority is the young families that don't know much about insurance yet. Let's go sit down and have coffee. Let's actually sit down, slow it down. I find that when I'm on neutral territory, outnumbered, I get a lot of good questions. Mm. When I am sitting in my office, they slow it down a little bit. They don't tend to ask as many questions and they don't leave with as good of an understanding. I do most of the talking.
Interesting.
So I like to meet with people. We still multiple people drop by on a day to review in the office as well. But meeting in person is maybe a little more old school, but we really like to do it.
So do you think that being an independent agent, you get to operate the way that you see fit? Do you think you have more opportunities to take those conversations like outside the office more so than maybe like an Allstate agent would?
I don't know what their rules are. I would assume they're allowed to do it just the same. I don't know if there's any restrictions in place for that. I know owning my own company, I kind of, I almost put a coffee cup in the logo. Like I really have a certain way I like to do things and I've kind of stuck with that. And so I really enjoy that opportunity as the owner. But I don't know that it has to do with the independent versus the captive. Cause I would assume they have the same opportunities.
Gotcha. Cause that's one of those things it's kind of interested me. Like the difference between I keep using the word corporate, but I think that's a fair word to describe them as the bigger insurance groups versus the smaller, more independent ones. Because it seems to me, with the exception of like Geico and Progressive, their whole thing seems to be, we'll offer you the cheapest insurance possible. You can't beat us. Or at the very least, they'll match you. Fair enough. With some of the bigger ones, maybe more premium agencies, they really rely on the agents themselves. Mm-hmm. Independents seem to be a lot of the same way. We have a face, you know us, we're in the community. Do you think the playing field between the independent agents and the premium insurance corporations, you guys are playing the same game? Is that about fair to say?
Yeah. I mean, yes and no. When I got started in the industry, I know my very first year, I struggled a bit and out networking and kind of getting to know people, met some other agents that started the same time as me in different places. And none of them stuck. None of them made it. And,
really?
But I know that I say to this day, I insure one of them. He's one of the best insurance agents I've encountered. He just didn't make it. And that it's each place has its own requirements and own expectations. And in his situation, he did really well in certain aspects, but he struggled in others. And independence, we get to make our own rules. So if I'm bringing a producer in to work for me, I get to decide, is this person right? The captives, they might have it more as a numbers specific game. You know, right. Hey, you did a good job in your home and auto, but you really failed this year in your life insurance. So we don't know that you're going to cut it. And I get to make that call myself now. So
right. Yeah, because it really does seem to be a sink or swim kind of market for a lot of people.
It can be.
What do you think the attrition rate for new insurance agents is? Like from year one to year five, how many of them actually make it?
I don't know, but I would say it's not high. I would definitely say insurance is different because you have to invest in your future while kind of starting by struggling today. And right. It's different. You have layers upon layers upon layers as to what you're building until you're successful. Mm-hmm. And starting from scratch, it's very difficult to, at least in the personal lines end, it's very difficult to make a great living off of what you're selling until you've got those renewals and the stuff. So you've built up your business. And and so in that sense, it's a struggle. You kind of have to know what you're doing. You know it's long-term. I'll say this too. I told you that I struggled my first year in the business. Mm. Part of it, even people I loved and trusted and I thought trusted me were hesitant to come over to me. And at the time it didn't feel so good, but as time has gone on, I'm like, oh, I get it. I totally get it. How many of these agents didn't make it and how many of their family was now stuck with the company that they started with as they're now doing something completely different. And so I get that there was some hesitation, but what was nice is as time went on, they all trickled in. All the people ended up saying, okay, time has come. I want to shop it around. I'm going to go to my nephew, my friend, my classmate, whatever it was.
So. Right. That longevity, it does a lot to build up the confidence that people are willing to put in you.
For sure. For sure.
So do you think that independent agents have an advantage over the corporate agents at the moment? Like, is there an angle that they can take advantage of that maybe they can't?
I do. Yeah, absolutely. I think that as an independent that we have the advantage when it comes to rate increases. Like when it comes to a situation like that, we can sit back and review. And like I said, take a look and say, are you still in the right market? If you are in the right market, great. Then we've just looked at a whole bunch of different companies to prove that. The other situation would be somebody calling up and us going, well, we've got you with as good as we can get you. We could change a deductible. We could change this, but this is our rate. This is what it is. And they're in a position just to explain the industry, explain what's going on with their company, but they don't have that backup plan that comes to being able to look at other markets. And I feel like I get to jump on the trampoline with a little bit of a net underneath sometimes.
Right. Yeah. Cause it's interesting. I forget. I know we're going to talk a little bit about it more on our next episode eventually, but just how much these large insurance groups are losing every year. I guess 2025 is going to be looking a little bit better, but it is astronomical. So much so that they're trying to turn people away. They're trying to make it more difficult for new clients to become clients in the first place.
They really are. Yeah.
Yeah. Which is crazy to think that that's a place for a for-profit business to be in.
Mm-hmm.
So if someone's having a hard time with their insurance agency, or they're just insurance, it's getting too high. If they were to go to one independent insurance broker and they got a bunch of quotes from a bunch of different companies, a bit mix and match. If they then went to a different insurance agent that's also independent doing the same thing, are they going to walk away with the same offers or is there going to be a difference?
Depending on the coverage that was written. But if everybody puts the same coverage in, the rate should all be the same in that situation. So it really does come. I'll tell people that when it comes to shopping your independent insurance agent, we're all kind of walking down the same hallway, opening the same doors.
Right.
Sometimes you get the agents are a little more lazy and that they might look at two doors and go, okay, well, we found our answer. Mm. And there was six more doors they could have checked. And at the sixth door was the answer. That right. was the better one. And so it does put us sometimes working with less benefit when they've already shopped at another independent and then they're coming to us as well.
Right.
We have that opportunity to sell that second door as well, though. Like if they choose that that's what they want, that we could sell that one as well. I tell them, if it's an independent you're deciding on, make sure that you are comfortable with that person now and that you're comfortable when it comes time to call during a claim. Like, are you absolutely certain this is a person or an office that you would like to work with when that time comes? If you had a touchy experience getting started, it may not get much better when the claims time comes. So I think that might be a good way to just differentiate between the two of them is who's willing to kind of put in that extra effort and make that connection early.
Sure. It almost seems like the corporate agents are easier to kind of fight than other independent agents because you guys, just by the nature of the work, have to be a little bit more similar.
I don't understand that one.
Oh, sorry. With Farmers, Farmers is going to give you all the different Farmers options.
Yeah.
Independent agent A is going to give you different options from all different groups. If you go to the next independent agent, they're going to find a lot of the same findings from the independent agent.
Yeah.
And so your two independent agents are really competing with each other more than they are with Farmers or with Allstate.
We can. Yeah, we can. I don't tend to, I mean, at least in this area, we have really good agents. Like we have some really, really good agents in Whatcom County. And I find that we don't tend to compete much with the good ones. We tend to compete with the not so good ones, because if you're out there shopping around, it's because you're upset with your situation. Likely you've had a bad encounter with your prior agent, whatever it might be. So a lot of the stuff as they're shopping around, it's some of that. We don't encounter a lot of the top-notch agents things very often. We do on occasion, but and I would hope that they're not encountering a lot of mine. So
no, that's fair enough. Can you expand on that a little bit though? It's fighting against the bad agents. Are these just lazy agents that are just finding the first offer for people that aren't really paying attention?
Yeah. Well, since there's not a mic in my face, I'll tell you that it's more the people that have been, I think having all these good agents in Whatcom County has actually kind of helped us stay on our game, because it kind of keeps you understanding you're not competing against a gecko, you know, and you're typically competing against other very good agents out there that are going to do their job and going to do it well.
Right.
The ones that aren't as well are typically the ones that have grown to the point where, all right, I'm making what I want to make now. I'm going to spend most of the days out on the golf course or away from my customer base. And yeah, it's a negative that comes with growth, I suppose. But yeah.
So it's not necessarily the up and comer insurance agent that you'd be most concerned about. It's like the big guy.
Yeah. The one that's been around for a long time, that's deciding they don't need the business, is the one that we tend to get some easy calls from.
Maybe he's a few years away from retirement and he's just trying to make it.
And the young ones, they're doing what they can. I mean, I was one of those at one point too. And honestly, those kids that are coming in new, they're usually pretty darn well educated and eager and have good attitudes about it. And you got to make sure they don't miss something on a policy, but they definitely, they're usually worth their while. Anytime I get somebody that leaves me and says, hey, my nephew just started in the industry, I really got to go support him, I'm like, good job. Excellent work. You should absolutely be supporting your loved ones. If it doesn't work, come on back. Won't be awkward, I promise. We'll work with you again. And there's a lot of people I've done two and three times around with sometimes because of situations like that. So
that's funny.
But no, the young ones, I support them. I think it's a good job. Get out and put in the work. And
so what are the relationships like as an agent with the clients? Because you're there when people maybe begrudgingly so have to get insurance on the car.
Yeah.
But then you also get to be there at some of the lowest moments.
Yeah.
Can like walk us through that?
Well, I mean, typically you're not calling your insurance agent during the good times.
No.
I mean, in the very, very beginning, everything's good. And so I get to the end of that little coffee meeting, and typically one of the things I say is, we've done 90% of our work together now.
Mm.
There's still 10% out there. There's still stuff that could come in. Most of it's going to be when you get a nasty gram from your bank saying that they didn't get proof, all right, come on, send it to me. We'll get it taken care of. We'll get them what they need. You have a situation where there's a potential claim. Call me. Let's discuss. Sometimes I can help protect you from yourself. Nope, that's not a good one for a claim. It's going to lead to a rate increase, and the amount you're going to get in return versus the amount you're going to have to pay out later, not worth it. And we're able to kind of help advise in those situations. Companies aren't always perfect either. Sometimes you get a adjuster that's not returning phone calls in a way that you would expect. And you can get an agent involved in that situation to help make some phone calls and shake the tree a little bit. So it is an opportunity to kind of be there in their time of need. Mm-hmm. But no, the actual relationship, we do what we can, even through our social media and stuff, to kind of joke and laugh and show our true personality to our customers that follow us and that. Just not talking insurance, just letting them know who we are and how we live in that. And I do think that there is a connection. We see them out in the grocery stores, on the softball fields, and church, and wherever we're going to be. We tend to cross paths with our customers more than I think most people cross paths with their customers.
So. It almost incentivizes you to do a good job.
Well, there's not everybody can be an insurance agent. And I do think that there's a certain person that's spent their entire life opening doors for strangers and picking people up at the airport and helping people move and enjoys doing so, that is their heart, that they're happy to help, that they have a servant's heart. And so those people, they tend to really thrive in something like this. And so, yeah, when they're out in the grocery store, they're not hiding from people. They're looking and they're seeing their friends and they're checking in. And I think if you get the right person, it's just part of their lifestyle.
No kidding. It seems like a very extroverted, very social kind of job then.
I mean, to an extent. I go home and I'm ready to be quiet sometimes too. It's a forced extrovert. You know, you're not necessarily always wanting to be an extrovert.
Right.
But I definitely, when I see one of my customers out and about, I want to take that moment to say hi to them, because it tells them, hey, I know who you are. I recognize you and I'm happy to see you. Versus I'm off the clock. I'm going to turn my head, dart away into the cereal aisle so I don't get caught, you know?
No, and I bet as an insurance agent, you end up meeting a lot of people from town.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. You get a lot of them. You get some interesting phone calls too. I think my best one I tell people about when they apologize for calling me on an evening or weekend. I once had somebody call on a 4th of July after a few too many pops because he was having a conversation with a bunch of his customer or with his friends about how rental car coverage is, and they were disagreeing on it. And he called me up and he asked me how's rental car coverage? Like, if I rent a car, is my insurance going to pay for it? And I gave him the answer and talked him through it and then said, all right, have yourself a good 4th of July, and got off the phone. The next day he called me and he was just mortified that he had called me while on 4th of July after drinking too much. And I said, do you know how good that makes me look, man? I said, you stood out in front of a group of your friends and said, wait a second, I'm going to call my guy. And you made the phone call and I picked up. Thanks for making me look good. I was like, keep up the good work, man. I appreciate it.
That's funny. We don't
get all these phone calls all evenings and all weekends. And we don't get a lot of that, but yeah, we like to be there for people as much as we can.
So this might be our last question before we close out this particular episode, but returning to the independent agency aspect, what do you think is the largest challenge facing them specifically right now?
Each company has its different set of underwriting guidelines and rules. And so, like you pointed out earlier, that the companies almost don't want new business.
Yeah.
They very specifically have said that at times, that I've joked with people, they're playing a hot potato with new business. No, you take it. No, you take it. You take it. It's really tough when your job is to sell insurance. So you really have to make sure that you are doing all of your due diligence to make sure you are putting the right person with the right company, and that you're not having this thing blow up on them because later the insurance company reviews it and says, oh, well, this one has debris back behind their yard or behind their barn, and we have a problem with that. Or this person has a tree too close to their home that's leaning, and we have a problem with that. And each company kind of has its own things that they're the most upset about. And so we know that certain companies won't take a roof over 15 years old. So you don't try to squeeze one in that's 17 years old, because you know exactly how that's going to go in the long run. Right. Customer's going to get canceled. You're going to get an expectation that they have to replace their roof within 90 days. These are not things that we want to put our customers in the middle of. So we have to do a good job of understanding the risk, as in the customer's risk, and then appropriately setting it up with the correct company. And I would say that can be very challenging at times, because you have to understand the moving target that is each company. It might be that this week, no Kias. We went through that stretch. This week, we don't want any Kias. And the next week, the problem is certain dogs. So we just have to kind of keep on it. It's one of the reasons why when people call us up and are like, well, I don't want to waste your time, but I'd really like to get a quote. And we're like, no, we'd love to quote. And there's no wasting time in quoting, because that helps us understand all these markets all that much better. So even if we don't get the business, to be able to do double-digit quotes every single day is something that allows us to fully understand each of these companies so that we understand their guidelines. We understand what they're upset about now. What are they going to give us a hard time on if we try to put in? And as we understand, then it makes us better at our job.
Right. No, that's brilliant. All right. Well, I think that's our time. So, Marty, thank you for joining me for this episode of A Businessman's Guide to Everything. I feel like I am more equipped to deal with insurance in the future. So thank you for joining us this week, and we'll be back with more Marty in the future. So until then, take care.